Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Felger and Maz here on a re-entry Monday. Everything from the weekend is on the board. You catch us here on 98.5. The FM dial is in Boston. Simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime, anywhere on the app. 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Tremendous product. Stream pops right up. You can get all the replays, all the podcasts, all of that on that application. As promised, right back to the phones. Jake in Boston holding on Tiger Woods. Go ahead, Jake.
Michael, Tony. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Two points real quickly. One, I want to touch on, obviously Tiger, but I want to get to the anthem first. If you remember the anthem game where all the Patriots players knelt, it was mostly defensive. They didn't show up in the first half defensively. They got absolutely crushed by Houston, and Tom Brady had to save their backside. And I'm sure that's playing out in Bill Belichick's mind when he's thinking about this, because they weren't prepared for that game. They let the distraction get to them. Let me get to Tiger here. The Tiger thing reminds me, and I am of the Tiger generation, it reminds me of Larry Bird. After the back injury with Larry Bird, you saw these glimpses. You saw the glimpses of where everything old was new again, and you got really excited and you got really hopeful. And yesterday reminded me of watching that Pacers series in 91 where Larry goes down and hits the floor and then comes back and leads them to victory. But you know it's short-term. You know it's short-lived. And you don't know what tomorrow has for Tiger, and you just enjoy being excited. And I'm pumped for next year's Masters because I think he can, you know, play and compete. But I'm also not holding my breath here and expecting anything. Anything that happens at this point, given the nature of the injuries, given how debilitating they are, we're talking about backs and knees. We're not talking about, we're not talking about a shoulder. We're talking about something that's absolutely serious and something that, can end and has ended other athletes' careers.
Jake, thanks for the call. Any win he gets is a major win, is going to be a huge story. It's going to be special, and it ain't a given. And that's what makes it so. That's what his previous wins, like, again, they were given. They were rote. The field laid down for him. Now, that's not the case. And so that's what I think gives it some juice.
Yeah, no question about it. He's a wounded guy in a lot of ways, and flawed guy in a lot of ways, physically, psychologically, emotionally, every way possible, for crying out loud. So can he sustain it? I don't know. I do think it's a little bit more doable in golf in this day and age and a lot of other sports.
Of course it is.
Because you can manage the schedule. You just play the ones you need to play. He could play, 15 tournaments a year maybe or something and pull it off?
So Maz was not impressed with Mookie Betts' cycle. He's not impressed with anyone's cycle, and it's really, Red Sox fans don't love the take. Mike on Cape Cod, your thoughts?
Hey, guys, I think that's a ridiculous statement. I mean, it's a sport where, runs dictate who wins the game, and who would ever say it's meaningless?
Mike, did they win the game?
That means nothing to the point. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's meaningless.
You just said there's a direct correlation between producing runs and winning the game.
Yeah, producing runs and winning the game is how it happens.
Ask him your other question. I like your other question. Can I ask
him? Okay, yeah.
Here's the question. No, I don't think you're going to ask the right question.
Go ahead, go.
My favorite question is this, Mike, on the cycle. Would you rather Mookie Betts hit a cycle or hit for two doubles, a triple, and a homer?
I honestly feel that runs win the game, and when you...
Okay, you're not listening. John Vermont, let me ask you something. Would you rather a player hit for a cycle or two doubles, a triple, and a homer?
Obviously the latter. And how come every time I call your show, the previous caller is, like, completely inebriated?
Yeah, I was out there.
I think the celebration of the cycle was more indicative of Mookie's celebration of the cycle. in the fact that they have like 40 meaningless games left to play, and I think he sort of enjoyed it as a statistical aberration more than like a great baseball feat. And the Red Sox, you know, you're talking about a team that markets sunsets. I mean, you know, you get three walks in a game, you know, they'll tweet about it. So, you know, I think, you know, Maz is right to, you know, be critical of people who are like truly celebrating that as like a giant, like a baseball feat. But I think we need to be realistic. Like, the rest of the season is so boring. Like, I just saw a Mookie like getting a good parking spot or like finding a dollar on the street.
Okay, but
I don't think that he saw it as like, oh well, I'm a Hall of Famer now. Like, oh, I got
no. It's just like, well, you know, what else do we got? Yeah, but that's a good way to put it. Some people do treat it though like it's some sort of grand achievement in the game's history. Why? Because you get one of each. I mean, he walked two. Like, yay, terrific! He got on base five times that night. Excellent. It was a good game. I just, and I'm not joking about this because you know how I feel about it. I think the cycle is like one of the most overrated things in baseball. It completely, utterly worthless. I told you, it's a rainbow. It's what it is. One of each. Terrific. Excellent.
Let me ask you something.
And you celebrated in a loss? I don't love that either.
Okay, so he brought it up. And how the Red Sox are going to market things and, you know, just make it a part of this story. This season, right? There could be a Cy Young for Chris Sale. There could be an MVP for Betts or Martinez. Mookie Betts hits for the cycle. You know they're going to market the crap out of those things and sell the crap out of those things. What about the record, the win record? It's 116, right? They're on pace for 115. What if we get to the last week of the season and everything is determined? Meaning they're the one seed and they got home field and Houston's the two and the Yankees are the wild card. It's all sort of settled, which it very easily could be and probably will be. Do you think they go for the record?
No.
And do you think that if Chris Sale is pitching in the fifth inning and he could go one more, does he go one more because they want the win and they want the record?
No.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure, but I don't think they would. I hope they would have the common sense to blow that one off.
Do you know
off.
What I mean? Because they're going to have a choice. They're going to have a choice. It's going to be settled with 2 weeks to go. It's settled now for all intents and purposes. And they're going to have a choice whether they want to go for that record or not, determining on who they play, who they pitch, how long they pitch them. And it's going to be within their hands. And what does the organization promote? What does the organization, you know, what's the priority there for the organization?
I don't know. It's a good question. I like to think, though, that they would not risk anything that could hurt them in October.
We've been in the situation before, and that was 2 years ago going into the playoffs where David Ortiz was retiring. And they absolutely, positively put the David Ortiz retirement tour ahead of what was best for the team. And it impacted them down the stretch. And they ended up on the road versus at home against Cleveland. That made an impact. And it was every other night with the standing on the field, with this pregame, that pregame, this ceremony, that ceremony. Do you remember that?
Yes.
So how'd they handle that one? Did they put the best interest of the team there? Or they put the promotional thing with David Ortiz first?
No, they put the thing with Ortiz first.
You remember us going off on that at the time?
Yeah, I don't remember like you do. I don't. I also think
it helped cost them home field against Cleveland, and that ended up mattering in that first round.
But I also think that this is different. For one thing, they'll have home field wrapped up. And also, that was a, you know, you're celebrating the end of a guy's career. In some ways, you don't have a choice.
How about last year when Chris Sale has a chance for 300 strikeouts? Is that what it was?
300, big mistake.
And they pitched him an extra inning just to get his 300th strikeout.
Yep, that was Farrell in Baltimore. Big mistake.
What's the track record of the team?
Not good.
Okay, so that's all I'm saying. Like, I mean, we have some recent examples here where they could have put the team first and they, you know, they were interested in those records.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, and you're not wrong to bring those up. If they do that, they deserve to lose in the first round. They do. I just think that I couldn't give a rat's ass about 116 wins. I could not give a rat's ass. Now, look, Billy Lanny, I think, asked me this last week, and I thought he put it a good way. Does it matter? No. Would I like to see it? Sure. Yeah. But again, I'm not sacrificing anything to do it. If they can pull it off, and one of the benefits they may have is in the final week.
So if they do it with, you know, those scrubs, the last 10 players on their 40-man roster.
Terrific.
That's what you want them to do.
Great. Yep, fine. If they don't get it, I couldn't give a rat's ass. If they win 117 and don't win the World Series, what good does that do?
Zero. You become a loser.
Absolutely.
Like, that's almost, that's,
That's a cross that you bear now for a long time.
No, Chris Kasper would be happy. He'll get another 16.
Get another banner, yeah.
He'll get another, you know, they can hang a 117-45 banner in the ballpark. That'd be great, but they're not going to get a title, which means obviously a ton more.
Sean and Hingham on Tom Brady. What do you think, Sean?
Hey, guys. First thing, if I see Kyle Van Noy cover another running back, I'm going to dive headfirst into an empty swimming pool. But second, on Brady, so he's always talked about, you know, retiring, and he wants to play till 45. But I think this is something more out of anyone's control than anyone realizes. He's always said, too, that I'll retire when I suck. Well, what if I highly doubt it, but what if he goes out this year and, like, week 13, he shows his age and he stinks and they don't do anything in the playoffs. And he says, you know what? I suck now. I can't watch myself do this. I'm done.
I just can't feel the, I just, maybe I'm whistling past the graveyard, but you know, I mean, I've predicted declines for Brady because I think we've seen slight declines through the latter part of his career. And then he turned it back up the last four. I've never predicted the cliff. I've never said he's just going to fall off a cliff. And I don't see that now. He's going to fall off a cliff.
No, I doubt it. But what if he does slip a little?
To me, I don't think it's going to be in his play. I think it's going to be a back, a neck, like something like that that gets in the way. Favre's elbow blew out. Manning had the neck thing, you know, like so that I could see because he just time wins. Father time always wins. I'm sorry. And so eventually that pops up. But I don't think he's going to suck ever.
So again, what if he slips just a little?
Okay, so that I can see.
And the team doesn't have a great year. And let's say he has a December like he did a year ago. His rating was 81. 6 touchdowns, 5 picks. He gets sacked a bunch of times and they lose in the division round like they did in 2010 to the Jets. And he's looking at it going, man, we get some holes. We're not going to get there anytime soon. Or at least I don't think we are. You know what? I'm done. I'm out.
I can see that now.
Super G's crawling all over me. I'm
sucks.
Done.
I never thought I'd see it, but that restructure, that's what that reeks of.
I mean, to me, and I think Patriots worry about it. Like, now more than ever. I think if you would ask, again, that comment that Kraft made months ago about restructuring Brady's contract or renegotiating with Brady, and right now, and he said, right now, the contract's not an issue. If it is, we'll talk about it then. Well, was it not an issue to him, but it was to Tom? Because, again, all these stories that are out there, whether it's Jeff Howe or anyone else, that Brady's open to an extension and the Patriots aren't giving him one, well, then why not? I think they look at him and they say, you know what? You're 41, pal. We don't care how good you are. It can happen, and we're going to wait it out.
We just finished our long commercial-free segment. Wasn't it awesome? We have more good sports talk coming up, though, Maz. Did you want to finish your thought?
No.
Okay. Then we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we're going to come right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Player out of the gun with Dorsett to his right. Guy's had a good summer. And he's looking that way for a long ball. Dorsett can't make the play with the throw that sails into the Redskins sideline.
Yeah, it's a tough one right there for Brian because you know, Dorsett's going up the boundary. And when you're going up the boundary and you don't leave yourself any room on the outside, there's no spacing for the quarterback to fade you to the out of bounds. So that's just a tough catch for Dorsett to make. And even if the ball was thrown even a little bit better, I don't think he would have been in.
Big Jim Murray here. Distaste for Brian Hoyer. Just heard right there in that clip. Yeah, so he didn't hit Philip Dorsett 40 yards down the field. It was covered like a blanket on the sideline. Somehow this is a play that Murray holds against Brian Hoyer.
Not the whole first half, too. No internal clock on that guy. You'd think that there would be one after 9 years in the league, but holds on, too much pressure, overthrowing guys, doesn't lead receivers. He stinks.
So we ranked the backup quarterbacks before. Murray has Hoyer somewhere around 16.
That's correct.
Behind, folks, listen to this. Murray would rather have Brock Osweiler than Brian Hoyer. He'd rather have C.J. Beathard. Who's C.J. Beathard, you might say?
Back up in the Niners, he was throwing darts on Thursday night in their preseason game.
C.J. Beathard was, I think, he's in his second year, drafted the year before last. He's Bobby Beathard's kid, I believe.
That's right. Grandson.
Grandson. Right, holy crap.
Yeah, Bobby Beathard's old.
We're old. he'd rather have Brian. He'd rather have DeShone Kizer in Green Bay than Brian Hoyer. He'd rather have Jacoby Brissett than Brian Hoyer.
I'd rather have Brissett too. I like Brissett.
Tell him, man.
I'd rather have him over the next 5 years as something to develop to win a game this year. No,
nope. you Brissett don't had some moxie in him last year.
So again, see,
Colts shouldn't have won anything.
There's an element that you're leaving out,
which is
that some of these guys would be better players as backups if Belichick were their coach.
Well, for sure.
You don't think Jacoby Brissett is a better option than Brian Hoyer with Belichick as his coach?
No.
Okay.
I mean, not to win a game, not to win games this year. You're talking about 5 years from now, maybe. But no. I think Brian Hoyer is the exact kind of guy Bill could win with you know, smoke and mirrors and scotch tape in a bad division. I've told you, Brady retires tomorrow, you go 10-6 with Brian Hoyer and win the division. And probably go into the divisional round on the road where you probably get waxed. But something like that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Because he's the exact kind of veteran game manager that Bill could coach.
If it didn't mean that Brady had to retire or get hurt, God, I want that. I mean,
yeah, wouldn't you love to see it?
Oh, I so want it to happen because I know you would be wrong on this. He sucks. They would not go 10-6 with this guy. But then Brady would have to be hurt.
Right. Well, what does that mean for us to actually see it?
No.
We did have a caller on the board about Teddy Bridgewater gets released with the Jets. So Murray's plan is to send a sandwich pick, which is a late third, early fourth, to the Jets for Teddy Bridgewater.
Love this idea.
Which I'm fine with, too. You may not need to do that. Bridgewater may be released. Bridgewater may be released because, again, you know what happens in the league. You put a player up on the trade block, no one trades for him, then you just release him. Like, as soon as you hear someone's available for trade, just wait. He'll more often than not get released. So if Teddy Bridgewater is sitting there on the street, 25 years old, former first-round pick, showed some promise as a young quarterback, hell yes. Take him any day of the week. And I'm not telling you, and I think I would take him in the here and now over Hoyer, but at least you have something there to start working with for the future, which is the Patriots are one of the few teams that don't really have a plan at that position.
No, I love that idea. Again, to me, that's exactly the kind of guy they should take a gamble on. I would love to see them get Bridgewater. I mean, again, I don't know if it would work, but at least they'd be trying to take a shot long term that you catch lightning in a bottle with a guy like that.
Meanwhile, we've been reading into Brady's helmet today. Ray in Nashua on that. Hi, Ray.
Hi, sir. The reason I'm calling is you had mentioned earlier in regards to the contracts between Drew Brees and Tom Brady. There is a grandfather clause in which Drew Brees does get to keep his old helmet, just like Tom Brady does for this season, even though he might not be using it. But this will be the last year that they have the opportunity to use it.
Right. I mentioned that. I mean, I didn't realize Brees also uses it, but it's guys like
that. Yeah, it's the only two players, as far as I know. Maybe if James Harrison was still in the league, I don't know if that applies. I'm not sure.
Right.
But as far as quarterbacks go, those are the two ones that are grandfathered.
So if Brady was done this year, if this was his last year and he knew it was his last year, he could just keep wearing the old helmet.
Correct.
Doesn't even need to try out the new one. So again, people just wonder, is that because he's going to play in 2019? And you say, might as well start wearing it now because you're going to have to wear it next year, so get out ahead of it. Or is it just Giselle chirping in his ear about concussions and there's a safer helmet? How come you're not wearing it? Simple as that.
Right. Could be her. Could be Alex Guerrero saying, no, this thing's actually legit. Why don't you wear that helmet? You should do it.
Right. And drink this juice. Here's Billy in West Bridgewater on the Red Sox. Hi, Billy.
Guys, how you doing today?
Good.
I really wish you'd stop handling the Red Sox for division because if history tells us anything, 40 years ago to the date, we were up by 8 games. I don't want to bring up that taboo, but 40 years ago to the day, we were up 8 games on the Yankees.
Can I tell you
we lost the division.
Billy, can I tell you the difference between 1978 and now?
What?
The American League was good in 1978. They actually had competition. I think the Brewers were even sniffing around that year. I think the Brewers were right in that thing to the very end.
Oh, I think they were. There were a bunch of
that was a precursor to the World Series playoff Brewer teams. Like, that was a good team. Was Baltimore still good?
Yes. Plus, there were only two divisions. Like, and there was no wild card. Like, you had to keep grinding, otherwise you didn't get into the playoffs.
Well, I mean, the teams were good. Now there's like three good teams in the entire league. The league blows. So I don't see how the Red Sox lose this lead with the schedule that they have. Even if they wanted to choke, I don't think the opponents let them do it.
No. And that year, just to give you an idea, the Yankees won 100, the Red Sox won 99, Milwaukee won 93, Baltimore won 90, the Tigers won 86.
Thank you.
That's just in their division.
Right.
So there were five teams that had 86 or more, and four of those had 90 plus. So it's look, it's not the same. Okay, and the other thing is that team had zero bench. Zero. And I'm not telling you this is the deepest team in the world, but it's pretty good. I mean, they can sub guys in and out, and as long as they keep the key ones healthy, they're going to win a lot of games. To me, the comparison is 78. That doesn't work.
Wayne and Grafton, what do you got for us today, Wayne?
Well, I have to call you on the anniversary anyway. And, Mike, you're looking good. You're getting right up there with Steve Lyons and Eckersley, unlike your cohorts right there. Maz, I agree with you on the cycle. I think you probably feel the same way when it comes to no-hitters.
Yep.
You know, they kind of, you know, it's a novelty. And, Mike, we also have to have another bonding moment with both Leos born in the month of August, and I'm old enough to be your daddy. So if you're a bad boy, I'm going to come down there and give you a spanking, but you might like that. Ooh, baby. Peace out.
I do look forward to it, Wayne. Absolutely. No hitters, same thing as cycles?
Yep, absolutely. Again, fluky thing that any jackass can pull off on the right night. That's it. Seriously. No, you throw multiple ones, then we can talk. What did Nolan Ryan have? Seven of them?
Okay, how about for just a one-night viewing experience? You go into the ninth inning without giving up a hit in those last three outs. You don't find that interesting?
Sure. Yeah, it's fun.
You know, I could see. I could feel the joy exuding off of your body.
But again, even a no-hitter, I tell you, there's a lot of luck involved. It's a fluky thing. Look at the list of bums who have thrown a no-hitter.
Fine, but as a one-off thing to watch.
Yeah, fine.
You know it's interesting at the end of a no-hitter?
Sure. But again, a pitcher has to get 27 outs.
Yes.
A hitter only has to get four hits to hit for the cycle. And the other thing is,
But he only comes up to bat four or five times.
Okay, but again, it's not even this grand achievement of somehow it benefits you if one of the hits is worse than the other three.
Okay, so now you're on to something. I like your analogy of would you rather have a guy hit for a cycle or two doubles, a triple, and a homer?
So if a guy is 3-for-3 with a double, triple, and home run, should he hit a ball in the gap and stop at first base so he can get the cycle?
There's players who would do that.
I know, and that's pathetic. It is. It's pathetic. Like, I just, the cycle makes zero sense to me. Zero. What, just to say you got one of each? Terrific. Yay.
Here's Murray's update. As Wayne said, we're celebrating a birthday. We'll come back with a little homage to that after the, again, the headlines.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Glorified version of a pelican.
We're going to show them who we are.
No, I'd rather kiss his rings.
We're going to show them what we got. We're building a bully.
Walk.
Wilson.
Walk.
Wilson.
I think that's dumb.
I'm taking Wilson.
Brady.
Everybody's smiling.
Sunshine day. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Your bad business is okay, but mine's not.
Less bad.
Okay.
The Jets have cut Revis.
This is the year.
Oh, jeez.
They're going to win the cup.
Oh, God.
Get the duck boats ready. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions.
Suck it, Felger. I guess we're not that bad after all, huh?
Well, we won the Stanley Cup.
What's that, Burrito Dinks?
Felger and Maserati are the two worst. Yeah, you guys suck.
Tommy and also with you, Maze.
Murray, you suck.
Go back to Atlanta with your T-shirt.
Juan Carlos Standa.
Chris Steele.
Carl Irving.
Hey, Doberman. Kadobin.
Because what Kadobin did.
Anton, who bought it tonight.
They still got Kublin on the team. Is he going to be their backup?
Quickly, about Dan Pease.
This thing with Gronkowski is...
The Keith Galapolo.
Umawana Nui.
Mike Vile.
Mike Matheson.
Jake Abelsberry.
Jerry Veritek.
I want to talk about Saltamayaka.
Salamakia.
Saltimakia.
And Saltamakia.
What is it? You got to get Saltamakia.
Saltamakia. I don't like Mashman. I don't understand Mashman. I don't even know why he's on the team.
Eric Gagne. The Matt Suzaka was going to be another Pedro or Clemens. Lucchino. Gassier Pera. As Joe Castiglione said.
Wilson, quick throw. And it's
good.
It's called Halo.
We had a beautiful rub on one side. The play was called Halo.
I just came here to help your ratings. Actually, I guess you don't need any help, right? Your ratings
are
good.
We're pretty good.
This nonsense about trading Stevens for like a second-round pick or something. I mean, it's actually literally top 1,000 remarks I've ever heard in my life. That's the stupidest.
Tell me how we could have done anything differently.
Well, you know...
walk me through it. Love to hear it.
John Lister, Josh Beckett, Karen Garnett's comments.
Tell me what seals do that are worthwhile.
What do you do that's worthwhile?
This.
It's called throttle steering. Maybe you should Google it. And use my code, Beetle, to get in it. That's BETLE.
Excuse me. And if Calgary's going to pay him $7, $8 million a year? What, Murray? What?
According to Drager, Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin. Quarterback Drew Brees, according to Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, Patriots have traded tight end Michael Humanawanawi.
9-game road trip. Murray, do you know what their record was on that trip?
So 6-4? They're going to score 90 points the next 2 weeks combined. I don't know if it's going to be 30 and 50.
Missed 7 games, they're 4-5.
You're an average athlete.
They're telling you that they can't handle a disaster. The Olympics are going to be a disaster.
Here comes my check!
He's going to be the next Montana.
Krug is Bobby Orr.
Look, if they play like that, the rest of the way they're going to the Super Bowl.
Hey, Felger! How's the time now?
I don't know, Mike. I don't know.
Jets are just for trolling purposes, and you know it.
If you were a follower of the Patriots, and you would not trade Tom Brady for Andrew Luck, you're beyond dumb.
I've picked Baltimore. I mean, I'm just searching for reasons to back it up.
Let's put away all the cutesy, finesse, pansy Can't say that.
This is the nutty world of the NBA, where I gotta... I have to drop that.
Too much moving around.
Let's play a game called...
Don't hit it off the... Jimmy.
Is there a fan out there who's scratching their head over their apparel investments?
I don't think so.
What the... What the hell? All right, thanks again for Jim Murray. Excuse me. Jimmy Stewart, executive producer Jimmy Stewart, putting that together. Excellent job. Well, happy birthday to us. 9-year anniversary. Again, we went through a lot of retrospective stuff when we moved out of the old studios. And we have a 10-year coming up, so this is right in the middle. But a little nod to it. 9 years ago today. I want to thank the listeners, first and foremost. Good 9 years, Maz.
Yeah, it was. Murray just asked me a second ago. He said, does it feel like 9 years? I said, God, no.
No way.
Boy, it's gone fast. Seriously. 9 years. I'm happy to know, though, that I'm not the only one that dropped an F-bomb on the air. Like, sometimes it seems like that's the only one that ever gets played. But it's happened quite a bit here.
So, there it is. We will finish up here with your calls before we hit the final word. Matt in Boston. What do you got, Matt? Hello, Matthew.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to get your thoughts real quick on a possible Sox-Yanks ALDS. First, should the Sox be concerned over the healthy Yankee roster? Secondly, how bad is this for the league that they're going to meet in the ALDS potentially?
Okay, so I don't give – I couldn't care less about whether it's good or bad for the league, whether it's the first round or the second round. Like, there's – you know – I mean, is it bad for the league? No. As long as they meet, it's good. Would it be better if the LCS? Sure. And would the Yankees present a legit matchup? Of course. Yeah, don't base it all on this last series. That one won you the division.
Okay. Series starts tonight. Who do you like?
Boston.
Okay. Was that so hard?
No.
Murray?
But again,
Red Sox, Yankees starts tonight. Who do you like?
The Red Sox.
Oh, this is unbelievable. But hold on. Mr. Sunshine back there behind the glass. Red Sox, Yankees starts tonight.
Red Sox.
Okay, there we go.
Starts tonight, but again.
Did you hear that, Hook?
Ask me in 6 weeks.
Did you hear that, Marshall?
Yeah, Marshall.
Are you happy now?
I assume you agree with the group, Michael.
Are you happy? Yes, absolutely. I said it after they came out of that series.
Just making sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Just want you on the record with an opinion.
There it is.
So the one thing I would say to you.
And again, predictions are not opinions, but either way.
The one thing I would say to you as a Red Sox fan out there is that I think it was The Athletic today did its latest power rankings in Major League Baseball. Not in the American League. In Major League Baseball. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Boston, Houston, New York, Cleveland.
Wow.
Okay? So, I just getting in, once you get there, it's a fight, man. So, look, it's good that they're going to win the division. I think being the number one seed in some crazy way is going to hurt them.
What?
Because they may have to play both Houston and New York instead of just one of them. They'd be better off playing just the wild card entry.
Huh?
In other words, if they finish with the second best record, they get Cleveland in the first round.
Right.
And then either New York or Houston goes out because they have to play each other, assuming that one of those teams wins a play-in game.
I've got New York fourth on that list. You almost want to face New York. I'm down on them after. There's something not right there between that manager and the way that team plays.
You're underrating the Yankees.
I'd fear Oakland more than New York at this point.
I'm down on New York, and maybe I'm just pulling the Jim Murray and just overreacting to what I just saw. But
you are
that's a scary that they played some scary bad baseball in a big series.
They did. Yep, and they played bad at the beginning of the year too. And I'm telling you that in the big game in New York, that's a team to fear. It's a team to fear. So, and I'm not telling you shake in your boots fear. I'm just telling you they can beat you. If they get everybody healthy and they're ready to go, they can beat you.
Tim in Quincy has a Patriots thought. Hi, Tim.
Hey guys. I was going to talk about Brady. Brady will play as long as Belichick does the right thing. Like Amendola said, you know, what was the agenda in the Super Bowl? I think that went up Brady's, putting Malcolm Butler on the bench and sacrificing a football game. Brady will play as long as he has a defense and he has a coach that doesn't make stupid decisions, like not getting the first and the second round pick for Garoppolo.
Well, then why is he still playing? Because the defense has blown chunks the last couple of years, and you just mentioned two things that Belichick just did, but he's still playing. So I think those are factors, but those aren't prime factors for Brady. Those aren't prime factors. It's just guys don't put themselves through that at the age of 42, 43. Like, that's the number one factor. It's just it runs out. It's just the flame burns out. It happens. And that's going to happen for Brady. I think you got a little extra boost there at the end because you drafted the next guy, and that got Brady's dander up, and he wanted to win that competition, and he did. And now it's just sort of on his own, and eventually that's just going to, I don't know. But, I mean, look, if he had a better relationship with his coach, could that get an extra year out of him? Yeah. If they are winning versus not winning, is that going to get an extra year out of him? Yes. So those are factors on the fringe.
I mean, if those things were the end-all and be-all, he'd be gone.
Yes, right? if what the caller said were the end-all, be-all, he'd already be gone. Right,
but
exactly.
Do you think this past year took a chunk out of him?
Yes, definitely.
I mean, see, that's what it feels like to me. And so this is why I wonder now, how much will he tolerate? And this comes back to the whole thing, the crack in the relationship and the adversity, and how much adversity are they willing to take now and still be the same? How much can they endure together and individually? And so if they have a rough go of it here this year, by their standards, let's say they go 11-5, Brady doesn't play great in December, they had to manage his health at the end of last year, and then all of a sudden they get there again and he's not feeling great and they're getting beat up and they lose in the division round, I could see him saying, that's it, I'm done, I'm out, see you later. I could totally see him saying that.
And I think the team fears that, which is why they only gave him that 1 year of those incentives and they didn't do anything else to that contract. I think the team has the same fear. Dominic in Southbridge. Go ahead, Dominic.
Hey, what's up, guys? I need to get a rant off my chest about this Red Sox bullpen. I'm going to be lobbying for putting that Murray's asterisk back on the whiteboard right up until the last out of the ALCS against the Astros. Nothing has changed. The relievers are allergic to the strike zone. There should be an asterisk in that nesting pitch zone every time a reliever throws one out of the strike zone. Watching these gutless bums pitch, it's like being in a dentist chair without Novocaine. Every batter, they go down 2-0, and they're always in full count. They walk the bottom of the order regularly.
And Dominic, and they do it against bad teams, bad lineups. Yes. Baltimore's a bad lineup.
Yes, exactly. They survived these terrible teams because of relentless offense. Even JBJ is hitting. So it's going to kill them in the postseason.
Okay, so I don't love our chances of getting Nesson to put an asterisk there in that strike zone.
Oh, my God, what a great idea.
But You did have some numbers before. Like, these guys they're just walking too many people.
So, again, and this speaks to the collective, too, but just to get, and I picked the last two games, or the last 2 days in Baltimore, which actually encompassed 3 games, because I thought the relievers were all over the place in those games. So just to give you an idea, in the last 3 games of the Baltimore series, Saturday and Sunday, Thornburg, an inning and 2/3, 2 walks. Workman, 1/3 of an inning, 2 walks. Kimbrell, 2 innings, 1 walk. Barnes, 2 inning, 1 walk. And by the way, 2 innings, 1 walk is not good. Okay, that's 4.5 walks per 9. That's still not good. Hembree, 1 inning, 1 walk. Kelly, 1 inning, 1 walk. Altogether, 8 innings, 8 walks from the bullpen. And basically, they all had an ERA right around 2. A whip right around 2. And as a team, or as a bullpen, their whip collectively is 6th out of the 15 teams in the American League. It's not awful, but it's average. And I was looking up some of the other numbers, like in 07, their bullpen, number one in the league in whip. 2004, I think they were second.
How about 2013?
So 2013, they were in the middle of the pack. Can you, you notice that I left that
one? Yeah, I could not. I know how to draw a line to prove an agenda.
It's very smart.
That's, I was all over you.
So, but I think we worried about that team's ability to throw strikes. And then in the postseason, they did more frequently, or they did not pitch some of the guys who couldn't throw strikes. So I'll look up the postseason whip, but I'm willing to tell you that it was probably good. Again, we looked up to Tozawa and Uehara that year. I think they pitched 21 innings, 22 innings combined, and they walked one guy.
Who was their third reliever? Like, who was the...
I'm not sure they had one.
After Uehara and Tozawa, who was the guy that got the most...
I'll look it up.
...the highest leverage situations?
Good question.
Do you remember?
I don't...
Because, I mean, they relied heavily on those guys, and they were money. So, I mean, look, where they ranked is where they ranked, but this bullpen doesn't have that situation. Right now, you have Kimbrel, who feels like he's teetering, and no eighth inning guy. Then you had a rock-solid eighth, rock-solid ninth. You did. And this team doesn't have that. Who was the third reliever?
I think it was Breslow. I think Jimmy's right. It was Craig Breslow. But you know what? They got skittish on him during the postseason, remember?
Not really.
I do. They were afraid to put him in. It was Breslow. He was the third guy, but they didn't use him a lot.
Okay. More of that in the Baseball Reporters at 6. The final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So on this, the ninth anniversary of 98.5, The Sports Hub, coming onto the airwaves, we celebrated here on Felger and Mass today by getting into a heated, possibly dumb debate about ranking the backup quarterbacks.
Oh, there's no question it was dumb.
Throughout the NFL.
Absolutely.
Number six, you have the Minnesota Vikings' Trevor Siemian backing up Kirk Cousins.
Yes. Yep. That's more than a serviceable starter at times. I like him better than Brian Hoyer, younger than Brian Hoyer.
I don't care about upside. This is not what we're doing, young. Yeah, we're not talking about upside.
Well, I'm giving you attributes about the quarterbacks and why I made my decision.
I'm talking about chances to win this year.
Yeah, Siemian, fine, just that simple. Siemian over this bum Hoyer.
We just said, we're not talking about what's, you know, ceiling or the guy's next 5 years. We're talking about chances to win this year.
All right, so I'm giving
Who would you rather have, Trevor Siemian or Brian Hoyer?
Trevor Siemian.
That one's close. I call that a tie.
That's a tie. That's a tie. I'm not giving it to you.
Tie goes to the runner.
I'm not giving it to you.
Trevor Siemian is
wrong.
Right at six.
I'm not.
A tie, really?
I'm not giving it to you. I'd rather have Brian Hoyer.
We're asking for opinions and we get two ties?
I'm not giving it to you. Shut up, Jimmy. Number seven.
Tie.
You have Lamar Jackson or Robert Griffin ahead of Brian Hoyer. Lamar Jackson.
Yep. I'll keep out the age. Mobility,
Lamar Jackson,
Mike.
Because he projects it. I'm not talking about that. Chances to win this year.
I'll give you the mobility factor. How about I'll leave the age out because, God forbid, I actually talk about facts on this show and give you a strong opinion.
It's not what we're talking about. The age doesn't matter. Yeah. Your chances to win this year.
Yeah,
lunkhead.
With those two over Brian Hoyer.
Lamar Jackson over Brian Hoyer.
Yes.
Nope.
I got to lean Hoyer on that one.
Thank you.
Lamar Jackson.
A little early for LJ.
Number eight, you have Jacoby Brissett over Brian Hoyer.
You know what? I'd take Jacoby Brissett over Hoyer. I would.
When he played here, they had to run a high school offense.
Okay, that was 2 years ago.
And what did you say when he went to the Colts? Oh, how about that? He actually throws a pretty good ball.
I thought he couldn't put one foot in front of the other. Just because he wasn't as horrible as I thought he was going to be doesn't mean that he's better than a guy who has started and won in the league in Brian Hoyer.
I'll go to the podcast and find the tape. Oh, he's a serviceable backup. Throws a pretty good ball.
And right, he is. I'd take him as my backup. I'd take Hoyer first.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree. I'm right on this one. Brissett.
I don't give it to you. And that went on for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. We went through 16 names, I believe it was. It's a bit much.
For the backup quarterback.
Maz?
Yeah, I like the guy in Arizona.
You returned from your three-day weekend. You got caught up with the myriad topics from Tom Brady, the Patriots' first preseason game, to Mookie Betts hitting for the cycle while you were gone.
Oh, huh? God.
How do you feel about this?
Another cycle rant.
Oh, yeah.
Thursday night, Mookie Betts hit for the cycle. Did you enjoy it?
Nope. What's so special about that? Did he get bingo? Like, terrific. You get a single, double, triple, and home run in the same game. And he get excited about it, too, on a night they were losing. So the cycle's what we're going to get geeked up about now? For what? What the hell does that do? Who's going to remember that? It is one of the most worthless things in baseball. Tell me what's better, a cycle or two doubles, a triple, and a homer?
Two doubles, a triple, and a homer.
Exactly. Yeah. Why don't we keep track of that? We're going to get excited about a cycle in a year where a team's going for 115 wins, where you get a guy who could win the Triple Crown, and we're going to get excited because some guy's able to ride his bike around the bases. He get a cycle. Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! Way to go, Mookie! We lost 12-5, but yeah! Oh, God, please. Worthless, utterly, completely worthless on the list of baseball achievements that I could not give a rat's ass about, a flying fish about. You can take the cycle and shove it. It is completely useless. Four-hit game. Yay. They just happen to be one of each. Whoop-de-freaking-do. A cycle. Oh, my God. That's what we're going to get excited about in this season, is a stupid-ass cycle? Oh, pathetic. Loserville when you start celebrating the cycle. Loserville. Stupidest thing ever, the cycle. Stupidest baseball achievement ever, the cycle.
Yeah.
Seriously, though. I mean, it is. It's one of those really, like, stupid novelty things that means absolute jack squat.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.